you're in the home 6010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Good morning to you. For those that are watching the live stream, happy fall. First day of fall today, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it's tomorrow, but it's sometime soon. Field and Matthew and Daniel and Stefania here.
Yep.
And you have that look on your face like you've got something to say.
Do I? Is there a specific look?
It was like, your shirt just like.
Well, I was stretching. I was looking at myself on the on what we call the return. So for people watching at home, Field and I have a screen in front of us so we can see what you see as well. And I'm wearing a t-shirt. It's a Fantasy Life t-shirt. It says straight out of options, which I thought was appropriate for waiver wire today, given all the injuries that happened in week number two. And so, you know, listen, I'm not a t-shirt guy. I feel like you look good in a t-shirt.
Okay.
I think it goes either way with me. So I was just, you know, I was adjusting my, you know,
but when it goes
my
either
shirt
way.
On the camera, on the return, just, you know, trying to make myself look, you know, presentable for the internet.
So when you say it goes either way, like how frequently does it go in your favor? Like percentage? Like we're talking like 60,
like when he's
40
not wearing split? A shirt, he honestly, looks better when he wears a t-shirt.
There was a day in 2006 where I just crushed it.
He had the sleeves rolled up a little bit. Yeah. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get right into a lot of football.
It was tie-dye.
And, you know, like I had tight. I'd been on a diet for a little while.
It was a tight tie-dye.
Tight.
Yeah.
Tight.
Tight. All right, let's get into Monday Night Football. The Las Vegas Raiders win in impressive fashion last night. Really great win.
The undefeated.
That's right.
Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, not only 2-0 this season, but of course now 1-0 in their new home. Allegiant Stadium looked beautiful. Can't wait for fans to be allowed to be inside of Allegiant Stadium. They win 34-24. One of those games where you thought this one might get out of hand early in the Saints' favor. They go up 10-0. Instead, the Raiders, on the strength, really, of Derek Carr and Darren Waller, the baller. 12 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown for Darren Waller. Over his last 16 games, he's got 95 catches. I wonder if any tight end has more catches over their past 16 games than Darren Waller, the baller. Not that we're going to ever redraft in week three, but if you were, I think right now there are about two tight ends that you definitively take over Darren Waller, and maybe it's just one.
No, I think he would still be fourth for me.
Okay, so I'm,
But I move him ahead of Ertz.
Yeah.
Move him ahead of Ertz. Like, I don't know that I'm, well, I guess Kittle with the injury, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
is that like, definitely are taking Travis Kelce, I think.
Right.
And then I think you're probably taking Mark Andrews. And then I think it's a conversation. You got a banged up George Kittle.
Versus,
quiet week one. I mean,
versus
anyways.
Waller the baller.
Probably
you know I love Waller, obviously. You know, big guy for me last year. One of my favorite players in the NFL. I've got a silver and black 83 jersey hanging in
and
my...
And a tattoo as well, which is interesting.
Yeah.
It's underneath that shirt that you're wearing right now. I think it probably... You know what it is? Like,
what's
more
that?
Than anything, this is just a cool story, right? Like,
story.
It's not that we didn't expect... We were not like anybody was saying bench Darren Waller going into last night. Just a great story. You guys been playing tight end for basically 2 years. The guy was nearly out of football and nearly out of luck in life with a lot of personal demons that he has battled and struggled with. He's been suspended on multiple occasions. He's gotten his life... very much on track, and you just, you know, they say you love to see it.
Yeah.
You love to see it with Darren Waller. So congrats to him on his personal growth, and from fantasy perspective, he has established himself as a star.
Yeah, as a, you know, no-brainer, must start, you don't think about it. Tight end, 24 targets so far this year. That's third in the NFL.
Yeah, pretty good, I mean, right there.
You know, look, like you find yourself someone that looks at you the way Derek Carr looks at Darren Waller. And what was amazing is I complained about this on Twitter last night, and then, you know, the fantasy gods sometimes answer you
right,
if you complain loud enough. And what was amazing is last year, Darren Waller had 90 receptions, 3 touchdowns.
Right.
Like, they just never looked for him in the red zone or even the end zone especially. And you thought, oh, you know, with Foster Moreau had more touchdowns last year, their other tight end, than Darren Waller did, despite the fact that Darren Waller was such an integral part of their offense. And so the fact of the matter is that they got him a score in this one as well. So really exciting game for the Raiders, I think, for football, right? I mean, it's just that, like, you know, if it just been the hum-ho, oh yeah, the Saints won again, okay, blah, blah, you know, like, last night was a great game, I think, all the way around.
Yes,
unless, of course, you're a Saints fan.
I was going to say, yes, that will be the only problem. Is if you are a Saints fan, you're a little bit less than enthused. Let's talk about Josh Jacobs, though. He fought through some pain, got banged up in the middle of this game, but finished the game, so you feel good about his outlook going forward health-wise. 88 rushing yards.
I mean, like,
are you concerned then? Okay, well, let's. Well,
I mean,
like,
I want to ask Stefania. I mean, I don't know. All I know is that this is a guy that played through a broken shoulder last year. I mean, like, so he's one of the toughest guys in the NFL. But like, don't you think there's a scenario? And I'm not. I have no inside knowledge whatsoever. I'm merely saying that I don't think the fact that Josh Jacobs returned means he's completely out of the woods.
So if you want to ask Stefania, let's just do it. Why not? Right? Stefania Bell, of course.
Where is Stefania Bell?
She's there.
There she is in the bunker.
Stefania, are you concerned at all about Josh Jacobs?
Not yet. No. I was concerned at that moment, Matthew. I know exactly what you saw. I saw him go out. He looked like he winced a little bit. I thought, oh boy, here we go. I mean, he's on the field. He's got the ball a lot. He's in the running back position where he's getting taken down and getting hits all the time. He's vulnerable, but you're going to see moments like that where he goes out and comes back in. And once he was back and looked good, I wasn't worried.
Stefania, but I'm not crazy for this specific reason. I mean, there's lots of reasons why I am.
Thank you for clarifying.
But for this, I'm not crazy to think that just because a player returns to a game doesn't mean they're out of the woods. Like, I feel like we have seen scenarios where a player has left a game, come back in, and then we find out midweek, like, oh, turns out he was playing on a fill-in-the-blank injury.
No, you are 100% correct, and I applaud you. I mean, I'm just really impressed by all the things that I notice you've picked up over the last 13 years. It's really great.
100% correct? Do we have to give him 100%
those, Stefania? Yeah, no, he's 100% correct that is a possibility, but it's also important how they come back. Right. Take George Kittle, one of my favorites, who played last year after he hyperextended his knee and didn't look the same. I mean, couldn't do the same things. Josh Jacobs last year, we did begin to see him wear down, even though he was out there. We heard about the time he was in tears putting on his equipment. I thought he looked good when he came back last night. I mean, I didn't see anything that would set off the alarm right now, but sure, it's possible he was playing through something. But I guess I'm not overly concerned until I hear it.
Okay, so without the definitive information one way or the other, and without really the ability to project going forward at this moment, let's highlight what we do know. Yeah. 27 carries last night. Poor efficiency. He averaged about 3 yards per carry. He got 3 catches. That was solid. Jalen Richard had the big touchdown run for the Raiders. But this is 3 straight games with 20 or more carries. Josh Jacobs, a clear-cut workhorse running back. And right now, with so many running backs already injured or struggling, he feels like one of the 5 to 7 best running backs in fantasy.
The people that were fading Josh Jacobs in the preseason were talking about the fact that, you know, again, no passing game usage. And, like, again, 7 catches so far this year, it's not like it's not massive.
Yeah.
But it's not nothing.
Right. No,
and
I think
just the volume that he's getting is unbelievable.
I actually think that, like, I think it was, I don't know, there was a ton of fading of Josh Jacobs. Some concerns. And I actually think those are, like, fair. I don't think that they've crippled his value. I don't think they crippled his value going into the season. I just think that relative to in most years, like, there are other running backs who are getting a bit more passing game usage that also are getting great rushing attempts as well. He's appropriately slotted, though, right now, I think somewhere, as I said, given all the injuries, probably one of the 5 to 7 most valuable running backs that we have still remaining.
Yep.
Henry Ruggs, the third, was the 12th overall pick in the draft, and I don't think a lot of people were starting him going into the season, probably not starting him last night. But if you were, you can put him back on the bench for right now. He may come around, and he's still an interesting late-round flyer, was coming into the season for us. But 1 catch on 3 targets for 4 yards. Zay Jones scored a touchdown last night. We saw an Alex Ingold touchdown last night.
Yeah.
Not exactly the players you were expecting to catch passes from Derek Carr in the end zone last night. Instead, Henry Ruggs will have to wait for... He did have a nice touchdown in week 1, but sort of a breakout will have to come at a later.
I just want to jump back in on Henry Ruggs, because I'm going to circle back to the point Matthew just made, which is Henry Ruggs hurt his knee in week 1, and he came back after that knee injury and played through it, got a lot of praise from John Gruden for doing so, but didn't look great afterward and came into this game questionable. And even though he was active, I think we talked about it on Sunday, he really hadn't done anything in practice so far and was concerned about what he'd be able to do. So I'm not sure how much on Monday was a function of him not being 100% healthy either.
Okay, interesting. We'll file this one. Again, I just think that probably, though, and I don't mean to cut you off, Matthew, is that even if he's healthy, no one's saying, hey, can't wait to get Henry Ruggs in the lineup now. Based off what we've seen, you're not doing that.
I agree. The only Raiders you feel confident in starting are Jacobs and Waller. That said, I do think this was game plan specific to try to attack the Saints, get away from their corners, try to go to the middle of the field, try to create mismatches with Waller, which they did throughout the night, you know, getting him on different guys. Like, they couldn't, like eventually they had to start trying doubling him. But I guess my point is that I don't know that this game is necessarily super indicative of what the Raiders want to do on offense, but to your greater point, you're not starting Ruggs or Edwards or Renfro or any of the Raiders pieces not named Darren Waller or Josh Jacobs until we see something consistent on the field.
Better football players than fantasy football players right now. Daniel, before we flip to the Saints,
real
quick,
because I know we need to move on. If you were a part of the managers that were hit by all these injuries, is Henry Ruggs somebody that you would feel comfortable at the end of your roster? We're like, you know what? If I need to drop him, he's the level of person that I'm okay with.
Of course.
Yes.
Okay.
He won catch last night.
I just want to make sure, because I know we still like him. Like, we're hoping things turn around season long, but if you need it, then he's
benches
a guy.
You're going
to
have
to
deep.
We'll get to the waiver wire section in a second, but just very quickly, as a general rule, you're going to have to make some tough calls.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there at 0-2, if you're 0-2 and you've lost Saquon, you're 0-2 and you're without Christian McCaffrey for the next 4 to 6 weeks, like, you are in survive and advance mode. You can't worry about somebody that might blow up in the second half. Like, you've got to win week three. Like, everything you do is about, like, just get me a win in week three. Get me to 1-2, and then I'll worry about week four when I'm done with week three.
Okay, so let's get to that a little bit later on in the show. Let's go to the Saints for now and focus quickly on Alvin Kamara. You can all thank my lovely wife, Chapin Duke, for his incredible performance last night. 38.4 fantasy points. You're welcome, she says. Chapin, last night we were talking, she really didn't have much time to talk, but she did have time to tell me that she needed a huge night from Alvin Kamara. That was basically the extent of our conversation. Can't talk, need Alvin Kamara to go crazy tonight. He had 38.4 fantasy points, 9 catches for 95 yards. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. After a disappointing year last year, there were people that told me this. Many people told me this during the preseason. I want no part of Alvin Kamara. I hope they changed their mind when they were actually on the clock during the draft, because Alvin Kamara, if you are redrafting right now, and again, I don't want to do this exercise all the time because we're not going to be redrafting right now, but if we were redrafting for the rest of the season, he might be the number one overall pick in fantasy, Matthew. Elite rushing usage, elite passing game usage. He is a star.
He really is. Not all heroes wear capes. Like, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So you tweet that last night.
I did. I mean, I was down significantly. I played against a guy that just had I'm in a different 16-team league than the one we're in. Here, it's actually league number one. It's the very first league that was ever created at ESPN.
Yeah.
My friend Aaron LaBerge started it. And anyway, and so I'm in that league, and the kid that I'm playing, it had Cam and Edelman and like 16 points from Justin Tucker. I was down significantly going into last night. I only had Alvin Kamara left, but Alvin Kamara brought me back. Hashtag Monday Night Miracle. Thank you, Alvin Kamara. Believe in that. What was surprising to me was how little usage Latavius Murray got in this game. Although, listen, the Saints at no point had a lead in this game, a significant lead. I mean, early on they did.
10-0. Yeah.
Yeah, but honestly, listen, the Raiders clawed their way back, and then they were trailing. The Saints were. So,
but I think the bigger conversation about the Saints offense.
Oh, boy.
ESPN Radio. Breaking news.
Guys, I just got breaking news in my ear.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles, the new quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Sort of. No. He is a new quarterback on a Denver Broncos team. That, according to Adam Schefter, who took it to Twitter a little while ago. He is going to sign a one-year deal once he gets through the requisite COVID-19 protocols.
Why does it look like Field already knew what I was going to say?
It did.
Like, how come
Was he a free agent? I thought he was in L.A.
He was a free agent. Had a one-year deal last year for $1 million. He was a free agent. He's now headed to Denver. We were grinding this story out this morning early, so we had a sense this was going to happen. Daniel, though.
Listen, hey, it's your producer, Matt Harrington, in my ear saying breaking news. You want to talk about your war room with teammate?
What do we think? Hey, 100%. No. We don't talk about our war room with team right now. Matthew already took a thinly veiled shot at it about 30 seconds ago when he said, if you're 0-2 with Saquon Barkley in a 16-team league in which took Lamar Jackson and then eventually Marquise Brown and Jarvis Landry.
You guys, I told you and Matt Harrington, I told you this privately, I will say it now to America. I thought you guys did a really good job with your War Room League draft. You've had some terrible luck through first two games, but I thought you guys did a very, very good job. You were one of my favorite teams coming out of the draft.
Okay, well, if someone can throw some magic our way to turn our season around, we will take it anyways, though. We'll decide whether that's an appropriate use of breaking news going forward.
Sure.
I do think there is. So let's get serious.
We are the Bortling of, you know, we are Bortling our way to podcasting. We are the Blake Bortles of podcasting. So
that's probably fair. Like, there are probably certain players, like, I don't care if like Steven Jackson moved to a new home. if Steven Jackson's in the news, like because of his awesome years as a fantasy superstar, I think it's worth a breaking news drop.
We love Steven Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like Blake Bortles had a couple of years where he
great
carried
shooter
you
from downtown.
Yeah. I was thinking about Steven Jackson, the running back, but Steven Jackson, the basketball player.
Yeah, yeah, he's great.
Shout out to SJ at SJ39.
That's right. But I think there actually is a legit conversation to be had. On the waiver wire, which I write every week, now available on ESPN.com, I gave a few quarterback suggestions for the week, three of them specifically, and we'll talk about those a little bit later. But the premise was, you know something, guys? I'm not really sure you're going to be adding a quarterback this week because of the players drafted in, let's say, the top 10 to 12, they have either met or maybe even surpassed expectations for the most part, right?
Yeah, they're
two guys, Tom Brady and Drew Brees. And Drew Brees is where it gets interesting. Under 15 points in back-to-back games. Didn't happen once in 2019. And I got to tell you, it's weird. It's so early, and I really, really, really don't want to be the guy that writes off Drew Brees or Tom Brady or both of them too soon and look a complete moron within a month. But both players have had some struggles that are just hard to miss. Brady, we thought some of those struggles we saw last year would be cured by better weapons. I'm not sure all of them have. And Drew Brees doesn't look like the Drew Brees we saw last year through two games. And I don't know that if I had Drew Brees as my starter, I am prepared right now to make a move at quarterback unless you drafted a second player, like maybe a Cam Newton, who was one of the trendiest second options at quarterback. But the leash is not long on Drew Brees anymore. And forever it was, you drafted him, you played him all 16 games, you probably felt really good about the investment.
Yeah, I don't know that they're similar cases. I understand they're both big name, first ballot Hall of Famer, famous guys over 40. I understand that. But I do think the difference between Brees and Brady, I think there's some difference there. Brees doesn't look like Drew Brees through two games. And it's small sample size, so I agree with you. I wouldn't mind if I had Drew Brees and I didn't have massive injuries somewhere else that I didn't have to address at the running back position. I wouldn't mind grabbing a Joe Burrow or somebody like that. I'm not saying you necessarily start him over Drew Brees this week, but I wouldn't mind because there may come a point sooner rather than later where you're just like, I can't start Drew Brees anymore. And at that point, you look around and there's no good quarterbacks on the waiver wire. So while there's still some guys out there that have big time potential, I might grab one and stash one. As for Tom Brady, what gives me confidence here is two things. And I agree with you. Obviously, Brady hasn't been what you drafted him to be. But first off, if you watch that game last week, and I watched very closely, right? So first off, LeSean McCoy drops a touchdown. Scotty Miller drops a touchdown. Grayson, is it Curtis Grayson? I forget the first kid's first name.
Cyril Grayson?
Yeah, thank you very much. He dropped a pass that would have been that should have been a touchdown that he could have walked in there. Leonard Fournette caught a swing pass and got tackled at the one. He ended up converting it on the next play on a run.
Yeah.
My point is there were a number of plays that had anyone else on his team stepped up. Tom Brady's day looks a lot different.
Interesting.
You have to understand that game one, playing against the Saints, had Mike Evans on basically half a hamstring, right? Second game doesn't have Chris Godwin. So I want to see a Tom Brady game where he's got his full complement of weapons there.
I think,
if Scotty Miller and LeSean McCoy catch their touchdowns and he's got three touchdown passes against the Panthers, I think the narrative around Tom Brady is a little bit different.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know an answer. It's only 2 weeks. And I, of course, know Michael Thomas last night for Drew Brees, so we should note that context.
Yep.
Sometimes you get a little instinct and it works out in your favor, and my instinct right now is that something is off with Drew Brees, and I wonder if it can be fixed over the next few weeks. I certainly hope it can be. Let's talk about Tre'Quan Smith.
I was just going to say, the last thing on that game is I think we got to talk about the wide receivers here. And Mike, I'll give this question to you, Field Minister Yates.
Did he make the waiver wire column?
Not only did he make the waiver wire column, but my question to you is just when you think about football. So the obvious thing, the sort of surface level analysis is like, you get Tre'Quan Smith over Emmanuel Sanders, right? But my question is to you, when Michael Thomas comes back, is Tre'Quan Smith to the bench or Emmanuel Sanders to the bench? Because they're different wide receivers who play sort of different positions. And
you know,
so, go ahead.
Emmanuel Sanders is staying on the field. He didn't get $16 million to be a spectator this offseason.
I know. That's what I wanted to bring up. I
thought about excluding Tre'Quan Smith from the waiver wire column. The only reason why I added him was because there are so many injuries this week that you may be forced into making a move. A little bit of context here. It's one game. Right. The Saints could have put Michael Thomas on injured reserve, and he's missing at minimum three games, but potentially just three games. So You would think that Michael Thomas is back either this week or next, given that they did not place him on injured reserve. Roster spots are very coveted in the NFL. Beyond that, we've seen Tre'Quan Smith flash before.
Yes, we have.
He had like a 10-catch, 103-yard game in the past, and then subsequently, he fizzled back out. So, if you're desperate and you are confident in the matchup next weekend against the Packers in a massive Sunday Night Football game, I think there are worse options to consider, but I am not making him a priority add this week just because of 5 catches for 86 yards.
Yes, I agree with you, and I think that's the important part here because I think people will see those numbers, they'll see the box score, and they'll be like, I got to add Tre'Quan Smith. And I would argue that no, because number one is I don't think he gets nearly the playing at full health for the Saints. He's not going to get nearly the playing time that he got last year. I agree with you. They're not. So Emmanuel Sanders isn't going to the bench anytime soon. But I think the greater point here is that you also probably don't want Emmanuel Sanders on your fantasy team. Like, again, the Saints you want are Kamara,
yep,
Michael Thomas, and Jared Cook, likely. Yeah.
And you know, maybe Drew Brees, right? That's what we have to figure out.
Maybe Latavius Murray. I mean, Latavius Murray's got 15 carries in week one, didn't do much last night, but obviously a very, very important insurance piece if anything were to happen to Kamara. So, but those are the guys that I think you're rostering, and Drew Brees is sort of on the fence if we talked about. But, yeah, I just there are a better wide receiver options on the waiver wire. We're going to get to that in a little bit later in the show than Tre'Quan Smith. So I just don't want people to overreact to what was a very nice performance last night.
Good, solid game for Tre'Quan Smith. A great victory for the Las Vegas Raiders. We're coming back to talk about injuries in just one moment, but first, a word from Daniel.
Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies?
For real, for real?
That's 15% on top of the money GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? A better use of the breaking news drop? Because Blake Bortles was a top 5 fantasy quarterback not that long ago, guys. That's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
All right, so it's time to talk about injuries. And to be clear, what we're going to do here is we're going to get the information, the updates from Stefania. We're going to get into the waiver wire talk a little bit later on in the show. We don't want to have the same conversation twice. And of course, most of this week's waiver wire ads are dependent upon the injuries from week two. And again, I think most people are very aware of the updates surrounding these players. But for those that are not as aware, Stefania, let's rip through these. And sadly, we begin with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, very sad. In second quarter injury, you could tell it looks serious. He tore his right ACL. That was confirmed yesterday with imaging. There's a report from NFL Network that he also tore his medial collateral ligament and his meniscus, at least in part. And the reason this matters is because you often, if you have an MCL injury, they will delay your surgery for a few weeks to allow the swelling and the inflammation to subside and protect the MCL before you go in for ACL reconstruction. So it just adds a little bit of time and a little bit of complexity to the recovery.
Stefania, Christian McCaffrey said he wanted to be incredibly transparent about his injury. What did he tell us yesterday?
Well, he was transparent about his attitude for sure, and that he sees it as a challenge to get back from this high ankle sprain sooner than the 4 to 6 weeks that he was told it would take. Now, we talk about high ankle sprains all the time and how they're tricky because guys can feel really good walking around. And we took some comfort that Christian McCaffrey came off the field on his own power. And we know that until you get those things further evaluated, you can't necessarily assess the severity of it. I think the fact they're planning on 4 to 6 weeks gives him some cushion, right? If he does well and he's able to show them that he can do what he needs to do, play the position, then you come back. But remember, speaking of the guy we were just talking about, Saquon Barkley came back after missing 3 games last year, struggled a little bit when he returned, probably came back a little soon.
Christian McCaffrey, by the way, when the team was asked, Matt Rhule was asked about, hey, would you put McCaffrey on IR, which would, of course, shelf him for at least 3 games. Matt Rhule said, I haven't even thought about that yet. We'll worry about that discussion and the decision later, but that would be a big indicator for us. Cortland Sutton, Stefania, I feel awful for this kid after being hurt in week one with an AC sprain, or maybe it was even before week one, in the last days of training camp. Now he's got an even graver injury to overcome.
Everybody was watching the shoulder, right? He makes it back. He's going to play in this game. We knew he wasn't 100% going in, and then he injures his knee, but again, maybe to Matthew's point from earlier that sometimes you see guys walking around or they look like they're not as bad off as they are. He was trying to convince people that he was okay and maybe could go back into the game. And it turns out he had a torn ACL. So unfortunately, his season is over. But again, another reason it reminds us you can't always judge the severity of the injury by how the player is reacting on the sideline.
And just a quick note on his quarterback, Stefania, because even if Cortland Sutton was playing, he's going to be catching passes for, or he would be catching passes from somebody besides Drew Lock for the upcoming weeks.
Right, Drew Lock with a bruised rotator cuff. So they thought an AC sprain initially. That's what we talked about yesterday. And again, sometimes you get better detail of the soft tissue injury when you go for the MRI. That's where it's really helpful. A bruised rotator cuff for a thrower is problematic because you have bleeding in the area of the muscles that essentially control your shoulder in space. So they're thinking 4 to 5 weeks for Drew Lock. Could be longer to get his normal throwing back.
Okay, that's unfortunate for the second-year player. That's also part of the reason why that massive breaking news early on in the show popped up. The team is adding Blake Bortles to the active roster. Not quite.
You know what? The NFL's just better with Blake Bortles in it.
Agreed, of course.
More fun.
Paris Campbell for the Colts, Stefania, had a great week one, and now, unfortunately, he's dealing with yet another injury.
Yeah, another injury. A multi-ligament injury in his knee, a PCL-MCL injury. It sounds like there's some discussion about whether he's going to require surgery or ultimately will have surgery to address the issue or go through intensive rehab. There are a lot of reasons why that could be up in the air, and especially concerning the overall stability of his knee. This is an injury that Le'Veon Bell had, if you remember back when he was with the Steelers and had the posterior part of his knee actually reconstructed. So we'll see what Paris Campbell elects to do, what the medical staff recommends, but I wouldn't be counting on him this season. I know they've labeled it indefinitely, but in order to rehab this correctly, whichever route he goes, it's probably going to be longer.
Oh man, a bummer, because basically a lost rookie season as well due to injury. All right, Stefania, you've got 19 minutes. Start with the 49ers injury. Is that enough time or no?
Well, let me start with the fact that their plane was bruised by a car on the runway, so they got a delayed arrival into New Jersey. And then the MRI truck broke down on the way to Greenbrier, so they couldn't even get the imaging done for their players until late last night, which is why we did not have confirmation of the Nick Bosa ACL tear, the Solomon Thomas ACL tear, the Raheem Mostert MCL injury, the Tevin Coleman multi-week injury with his knee. Who'd I forget?
Like the, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh my gosh. Jimmy Garoppolo and a high ankle sprain. And they're saying that at least they think Jimmy Garoppolo's injury is not as serious and that he can function. But boy, looking at him, it's also the way you play, right? It's the position and it's the way you play. We don't think of Jimmy Garoppolo, like he's not doing Lamar Jackson things, but he has to be able to pivot. You know, he does spin a lot. He has to plant and turn around to hand the ball off. All of those things you can struggle with a high ankle injury. So I just don't know that they're going to want to put him back out on that turf with this injury, because they, and the turf is another conversation, but let me say this. If the players already perceive it to be a problem and have expressed, literally using the word anxiety, about the situation and watching other players go down, that adds to the onus of the decision-making and putting players who are recovering from injury or dealing with injury back out there. And so that means to me, I'd really question whether you're going to see George Kittle next week. We know that Deebo Samuel is out. And the 49ers have 3 games, I believe, coming up on their home surface,
yes,
which is grass. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the guys who are questionable end up being out until they're back on a grass surface.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, boy. Feels like the entire team has succumbed to the curse of Stefania Bell. I mean, I'm just saying.
It wasn't me. I've been nowhere. I've been in quarantine. Look, I'm in a bunker. I'm not even next to anyone. I'm all by myself.
The power of your heart, Stefania. The power of your lifelong love.
She's your favorite gal.
I can't believe you're putting this on Stefania.
Like, facts are facts, right? This is all science.
But she's so sweet. It's Stefania.
She's lovely.
Yeah, and you're putting this on her?
I'm not putting it on her. I'm just saying this is what it is.
That feels cruel and unusual.
How am I being cruel?
You're trying to blame Stefania for
their woes.
I'm
not blaming her. I'm just saying it sounds like this is what happened here.
Stefania's
I'm just calling
lovely.
It like I see
you're being
it.
Mean. You're
it's,
being
it's mean. It's not mean if you're telling the truth.
I'm not sure you're telling the truth.
How do you know? Are you calling me a liar? That
how
seems
how
mean
can
too.
You prove that Stefania did it?
That seems
you
very,
have
very
no
mean.
Evidence other than circumstantial suggestions.
By the way, my entire life is built on circumstantial suggestions. Have you ever listened to this podcast?
No, I just really downloaded it.
I'm just saying.
It's like we have comments that I just like, I'll bet you the words circumstantial suggestions will not make it on the podcast today. And then here we are.
That's right. I just wanted to highlight what Stefania said, that there was a lot. I think the most important things from a fantasy perspective is that you might have to make plans for Raheem Mostert and also no Tevin Coleman this week. And George Kittle, it sounds potentially out as well, but we'll cross that bridge a little bit later on in the week. We're going to get to the waiver wire in just a moment. But first, the rising generation of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they got to the league. Now it's your turn. Create your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls. Swag out and win in style in new backyard football-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21. Available right now.
Last week is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you're not going to want to miss this. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. You pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code FOCUS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Do not miss out on the Week 3 action. Enter code FOCUS. Please use the code FOCUS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code FOCUS, only at DraftKings. Make it rain with a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you very much. Now, free agent finds. The waiver wire column is a staple of ESPN Fantasy and is written by one and only Field Minister Yates. So, Field, let's start with you. For people out there looking on the waiver wire, your number one pick is who?
Well, so the answer is Mike Davis, but I want to start this segment by noting this, and we talk about this frequently. It depends on what you need. And I know that's a common refrain for us on the show, but it's especially pertinent right now. We know the timelines for a lot of these major injuries. We know that Christian McCaffrey is expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. That means that Mike Davis almost certainly has minimum 4, maximum 6 weeks of value. So if you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, well, I lost Christian McCaffrey, and you have the number one or maybe one of the three best waiver claims this week, then it's obvious where you're going. You're going to Mike Davis. But obviously, Saquon Barkley is out for the entire season. So it's possible that you could add Deion Lewis and have 14 weeks of value. No guarantee. So I just think it's important to assess your needs, and we could sit here and answer 1,000 questions from the stream, but the reality is almost everybody's situation is a little bit different. Along those lines, though.
And I would agree with that. And by the way, you may not need a running back, but you may be ahead of somebody who does, right? And so, you know, sometimes the best offense is a good defense. Like, just because you don't need the running back doesn't mean it won't be a valuable asset for you to then trade that running back that you pick up or one of your other running backs to address a need you may have somewhere else.
And I also want to note that sometimes what we do in fantasy football, and this is not, it's nothing more than human instinct, is we try to jam square pegs into round holes, right? So, hey, Christian McCaffrey is out. Ooh, the Panthers all of a sudden have a 95% running back player out for 4 to 6 weeks. Someone's going to take over. And even though Mike Davis isn't Christian McCaffrey, hey, 20 carries, that's got to equate to fantasy goodness. I'm still managing expectations for all these players. That's a lot of mitigating circumstances, but I still like Mike Davis as the number one waiver ad this week, and I do like him as a player. Very talented pass-catching back. You saw it last week. He had 8 catches, basically in the second half. He is a guy that, in previous stops, has had a chance to be a factor in not quite a workhorse role, but, you know, a more than change of pace role, and he's been really solid. I like this player. I know that the contract ended up being one they found to be expendable, but I've said it a few times this week. The Bears gave this guy 3 years and $9 million. So Mike Davis is my number one ad of the week, and I think there is very much a scenario, not saying it's a guarantee, but that he is, as I said yesterday, a weekly 18 to 25, top 18 to 25 running back option. It's dependent upon volume. It's depending upon the passing game, and it's dependent upon nobody that we don't participate, or nobody that we would think right now comes in and gets 12 carries per week.
100%. It's a pass first offense. You think about Teddy Bridgewater, since he came into the NFL, out of the 39 qualified quarterbacks, he's 37th in average depth of target, yep. Which is, again, just
conservative.
Some numbers that just tell you what you know if you watch football. He's a dink and dunk guy, and so likes dumping passes off to the running back, which will be Mike Davis. So for PPR, I'm with you there. Secret Squirrel, you had a thought.
Yeah, we got a social question here I want to throw at you guys. At JoseLB1906 wants to know, how much of my fab should I spend on Davis and or Lewis? And this is tough. Yeah. I understand fab is always difficult.
This is probably going to be, it depends. So I'm just going to throw a number out there, and I'm going to let people decide. If you wholeheartedly disagree, that's fine. But I'm going to give you my suggestion. 20 to 25% of my budget would go to Mike Davis this week.
That's about what I was going to say.
And I here's the reason why. What if next week, and I hope that doesn't happen, but next week we could have another player who goes down, and we could have that player's backup be even more capable. And I don't even want to mention hypotheticals, right? But I don't want to tell you to spend 50% because we could have a rash of injuries again. And I also don't want to tell you to spend 5% because that's not going to work. Too many people in your league are smart enough. They have their instincts up, especially in a fab budget league where you have a fab league where you know people need to evaluate these decisions every single week, that I think 20 to 25%.
And, you know, it's interesting, just not to get into whole preseason philosophy, but there are people that are basically anti-insurance
right. And
pro-insurance. I've always been a pro-insurance guy, and this is one of those scenarios where it would have been great for you to have Mike Davis on your roster if you had drafted Christian McCaffrey.
Sure.
He was basically free in drafts. But we all agree that he is going to be a very productive fantasy player for as long as Christian McCaffrey is out. We obviously hope CMC makes it back soon and fully healthy. Let's move on now. And seems like next on your list, you're going to New York.
That's right, I am. It's Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman. I did write about Devontae Freeman, who does have a visit schedule with the Giants. So it's possible he enters the mix here. And one way or the other, the Giants probably need to make some sort of move at running back because they were a little bit thin there, as it were, because you have Saquon Barkley. Like, you're not going to invest a bunch of money into the roster at running back when you already have perhaps the most talented back, other than Christian McCaffrey, in the NFL. So if I had to pick one of these two, and they're both available in over 99% of leagues, so you can go find these players in basically every league, I picked Deion Lewis. And it's simple, and it's maybe a little bit too much of a crutch, but it's the fact that he was the backup last week. Wayne Gallman was inactive. They trust him a little bit more to do more things within the offense. Both of them were capable pass catchers, but Deion Lewis, we have a sample size. Granted, it was a few years ago, but Deion Lewis was at one point a top 10 fantasy running back for a prolonged stretch. That was during his dynamite days with the Patriots, mostly charged on being a great pass catcher, but also being much more powerful than you'd expect for a guy who's 5'7", 5'8", in terms of stature. So I would go Deion Lewis over Wayne Gallman, and I would keep an eye on Shefty's Twitter account for the possibility that the Giants sign Devontae Freeman as soon as potentially today.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's just play this out, because again, we're taping this at, it's now 10:37 a.m.
Yep.
At Eastern time as we tape this. If we get the alert from Shefty or Mort or you or one of our intrepid reporters here at ESPN that Devontae Freeman has in fact signed a contract with the New York Giants, where do you put him in your ranks now? So you've got the three, you've got Lewis and Gallman basically at two.
Yep.
So I'm just trying to think, I'm helping managers out there.
Here's the answer.
Go ahead.
Devontae Freeman would be number one. And here's the reason why.
Would be the number one overall or the number one of the Giants?
Overall. Here's the reason why.
Over Mike Davis.
Because if you lost Saquon Barkley, you need a miracle right now.
Right.
I'm sorry. Like I came in this morning. I'm a very cheerful person, as you know. And I was slogging through our chat that we have early in the morning with Matt, who co-manages the team in the War Room League, and Daniel and Kyle. And just like, I'm bummed. Like, it stinks. And obviously I'm bummed for Saquon and his family more than anybody else.
This is why I skip the pre-show meeting.
No, it's not a meeting. So it's just we're just hanging out.
I know. I understand. But that's why I skip it, because I don't want to bum anyone out.
Right,
I just come in. and then I bring my sunshine right to the show.
So you need the player that I... So that's what I do. The reason why I'm advocating for Devontae Freeman is that I could be wrong here, but I think if there is a player that I have mentioned or will mention amongst running backs, I think he has the best chance to, let's say he takes a job over by like week four and then gets it rolling. Like, again, Mike Davis has a shelf life. I don't know that Deion Lewis is going to be... I don't know that I would count. I would think between he, Deion Lewis, Devontae Freeman, and Wayne Gallman, Devontae Freeman's best equipped to handle a weekly big-time role.
And the other thing I'll say, if there's a chance... Because there's a chance he could sign somewhere else, too.
Of course.
But I think to your point, like we talked about Freeman yesterday, but in case you missed that conversation, in essence, what we talked about is the fact that Freeman didn't get the deal he wanted this summer, so he's decided to wait it out. He is with Drew Rosenhaus, who, as you noted, Field is an agent that, A, gets deals done and often has incentives laden into the deal. So my guess is that Devontae Freeman, who wants another payday, probably isn't going to get a massive one here, is probably going to go to a place where he can get the most playing time and has the best chance at earning whatever incentives are in that deal. So, I'm just, again, I don't know anything. I don't know Drew. I don't know Devontae. I don't know anyone in his camp. But just sort of reading the tea leaves here, if you're him, do you think you're better off going to Philadelphia to back up Miles Sanders, you know, to be depth at somewhere like Philadelphia or one of the other places he's been rumored to go? Or are you better off going to the Giants, which, hey, because of the injury to Saquon Barkley, they need a full-time guy?
Yeah, I think the answer is crystal clear. So, again, it's possible that Devontae Freeman signs there and then basically has like a 5 to 8 touch per game role. But I think if you were to evaluate, of all the names we've been discussing who could have 12 weeks of 15 or plus touches, Devontae Freeman would be my number one suggestion if we found out today he was signing with the Giants. I'm going to rip through a couple more here, Matthew, starting with Darrell Henderson Jr., Los Angeles Rams running back. I do want to weave Stefania in here because, Stefania, we do have two other Rams that have been banged up in the backfield. What do you know about Cam Akers and Malcolm Brown?
Well, Cam Akers left after just 3 snaps in Sunday's game because of a rib cartilage injury. We've talked about these before on the podcast. They're very, very painful. Now, the Rams are calling him day-to-day, according to Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for us. But the thing about it is sometimes it's just a question of pain and where the location of the injury is, because every time you breathe, you make that area that's torn move and separate. So it can be really tough to come back from that. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses time. Malcolm Brown, a pinky injury. He ultimately had surgery on it, but we saw him fight through the end of the game despite the injury. And this is something he can potentially play with as long as they're comfortable that he can secure the ball.
Okay. That is interesting information on Malcolm Brown. I would have thought he'd miss some time, but sounds like he could play in week 3.
Yeah, when you hear the injury described, as both Lindsay described it and Stefania did, it just sounds really painful. Your rib cartilage is like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's
can it's like that. Yes.
Like, I don't have any cartilage. I'm just basically a big
no,
blob.
You have only cartilage.
Is that what it is, Stefania? I'm only cartilage. So that's right. Like, right. Exactly. You like, you can't break jello, you know, which is basically what my body is. But like, I'm just saying, like, if you were like a finely tuned athlete, the way Cam Akers is, that sounds really, really
painful.
Yeah,
it does sound difficult.
Like, and especially when you think about what a running back has to do, like when you're twisting and you're turning and a lot. Yeah.
Flak jackets. Going to have to be worn probably just, going forward for
your
protective
mechanism.
Yeah,
and you take so many shots to your ribs. Like, that one's a tough one here. One thing I'll very quickly say about Darrell Henderson here is that, like, he's the guy that has by far the lowest floor, I think, of all the people, because it could easily be Cam Akers' job in 2 weeks, or, I mean, listen, week 1,
Malcolm
it was all
Brown,
Malcolm Brown.
Yeah, of course.
Right? But he's also, I think, potentially the highest ceiling guy out here, because
yeah. I think it's like, him and Freeman probably be the two that cross my mind.
Yeah, I just saw when you watch that Eagles game, you were like, that's the kid we saw out of Memphis. Like,
yeah, he looks special.
He's got some scoot to him, right? And they're not scared to use him between the tackles, and the Rams obviously are a very good offense, and so we know what the lead running back of a Sean McVay offense can do. So again, I think Henderson might be my choice if I was fine at the running back position and I just wanted to take a flyer, so to speak. I didn't need a guy this week.
Completely agree. Completely agree with that assessment. If you are not doing so out of necessity, I would be adding Darrell Henderson out of just roster, you know, depth and upside.
Because he's got the lowest floor but the highest ceiling, I think, of all the guys that are out there.
Just want to rip through one more here before we get to the wide receivers. It's Josh Kelly. We've talked about him a bunch on this podcast, but how about the workload in week 2? He had, 23 rushing attempts last week? Yeah. I mean, 23, that's the fourth most in the NFL. Now, it did not come at the cost of Austin Ekeler. We feel better about Ekeler after week 2, but he's going to play a lot for this team. And this team looked pretty fun on offense. I'm telling you, this Justin Herbert's got something to him. So keep an eye on Josh Kelly. Not sure that he can be started anytime soon. Because, you know, but so it's a little bit disconcerting that he has 25 touches in a game and you still can't really start him. But still a guy that we know, like, they clearly like him enough that if something happened to Austin Eckler something happened to Saquon Barkley, the Giants have to go shopping. I'm not sure the Chargers are going shopping if something were to ever happen to Austin Eckler.
Realize this, the Chargers lead the NFL with 83 rushing attempts through 2 weeks, right? Wow. Again, remember, Anthony Lynn, former NFL running back, is their head coach. 83 rushing attempts through
83.
2 weeks. 83.
Holy
and
God.
So I would argue that of all the players we've talked about today, that Josh Kelly has the highest floor. Now, for the next 6 weeks, it's probably Mike Davis. For as long as McCaffrey's out in PPR, it's probably Mike Davis in terms of highest floor.
Yeah.
But from this point till the end of the season, it's Josh Kelly. Again, the only thing that's changed with the Chargers this year offensively, really, is the quarterback. Right, I mean, like, it's still Anthony Lynn. It's still that staff in place. A staff that, by the way, had both Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon as top 12 fantasy running backs last year. And so if you think they've sort of switched a little bit, but Josh Kelly has, you know, 75% of Melvin Gordon's role last year, which is what it sort of appears at least through 2 weeks. I know they like this kid a lot.
Yeah, 23 rushes is no joke.
It's no joke. And by the way, he had some passing game usage as well last week. And so, to your point, it's not at the expense of Austin Eckler, but this is a team that wants to run. We saw a spark with Herbert. Like, I don't know. Like, Josh Kelly, to me, of all the running backs out there, I think has the highest floor for the rest of the season.
All right, wide receiver time. And Davante Adams obviously banged up for the Packers this past Sunday. Before I mention the two players who could be his replacements, once again, Stefania, we turn to you. Anything to note on Davante Adams' status?
Yet another wide receiver with a hamstring injury, right? But the good news is he was lobbying to get back into the game. The Packers had a sizable lead at that point. This looks to be a situation where they held him out to make sure it didn't turn into something big. So I think we can be fairly optimistic, even though it's still early in the week, fairly optimistic that we'll see Davante Adams.
My read on that, for whatever it's worth, my read on that is the same, Stefania, that we could, maybe should see him on Sunday night against the Saints. But we'll mention the two wide receivers. And again, I don't think you can invest in both. I think you have to sort of choose between Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Alan Lazard. Forced to pick one or the other, I go with Marquez Valdez-Scantling only because MVS has a bit more big play upside. But remember the offseason rhetoric of the Packers not having enough at wide receiver. Through 2 weeks, they have shown that maybe they are good enough at wide receiver. And last week, these players both cool off after a great, great game in week one. But Valdez-Scantling had a 7-5 targets edge over Lazard and a 64-45 receiving yards edge over Alan Lazard. The Packers' offense is humming right now. I know the schedule in terms of who they face over the first 2 weeks. I mean, two incredibly banged up secondaries. The Vikings decimated. The Lions decimated. It does not get easier this week going to New Orleans. That Saints team, as you noted last night, if you're going to do one thing, it's not throw to those opposing cornerbacks. They're so, so good. But still, if you're looking for wide receiver depth, maybe these two names are ones to consider, especially in the event that Davante Adams does not play on Sunday night, even if we think for now he probably or could against the Saints. What do you got, Dan? Anything else? Okay.
Nope.
All right, move forward to a couple more here. Corey Davis back on the waiver wire list. Just
sure.
Mentioned him last week. Another 3 for 36 with a touchdown. Yeah. Wasn't obviously quite as busy as he was in week one, but the offense looks really good. Ryan Tannehill is just balling again through 2 weeks, proving a lot of the naysayers wrong. And no A.J. Brown. And I don't think there's an update from Stefania, so I'll bypass on asking her. But, you know, the fact that he missed practice all week last week, bone bruises, as Stefania noted in our conversations last week, those aren't fun to deal with for a wide receiver.
No.
It might be that Corey Davis remains the man for a little while here amongst the wide receivers in Tennessee. For those that play, that stream.
And you like the matchup this week, too, against the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say
again,
so.
As we talked about, like that's totally. Secondary. Again, Ryan Tannehill very quietly threw 4 touchdown passes last week.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill has been rock solid. Daniel, what do you got?
I know we're going to get into some defenses here, but just real quick, if you had a tight end that you liked off the waiver wire this week, who's your top
tight
end?
Actually, a pretty good list, and go check the full column for all of them. But
Jonnu Smith would be my number one choice there.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess as long as we're talking about Tennessee, he's available more than 50% of ESPN leagues. Did you know that through 2 weeks, he's the second best tight end in fantasy. Now, obviously, it's small. You know, we've only got 2 weeks, and he had a massive game in week two. But look, Jonnu Smith is somebody that we talked about as a sleeper in the preseason that they liked with no Delaney Walker. He's a guy that's really athletic, that's really good after the catch. And so, again, we think about this offense. They're going to be passing more than people initially thought. They don't have a particularly large target tree. It's like it's A.J. Brown, it's Corey Davis, and like
Adam Humphries Donnie actually been kind of
Adam Humphries,
recently.
Yeah. Adam Humphries, and that's a guy that got paid. But just I'll go ahead and jump in there and say that my favorite tight end this week is Jonnu Smith.
Okay, and I had Mike Gesicki right there as well. Yep. Mike Gesicki for the Dolphins. Excellent athlete, made a ridiculous catch this past week, and you should know him by now. He had an unbelievable second half of the season last year. So Gesicki on the radar for those that maybe are dealing with either an injury or you roll the dice on someone like Gronk in the preseason as your starting tight end.
Obviously, Jordan Reed had a big week as well. Yep. We heard Stefania say maybe there's concern about Kittle because of the turf in MetLife Stadium. And so
I said one. You give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for a glass of milk, Matt.
Yeah, you know
I said you get one tight end, and now we're talking about another one.
Whatever.
I had not heard that saying in a long time. That was great.
Nice.
Here, you know what?
I was promised a cookie, by the way. Where I was promised a cookie. I don't see any cookie. This is very upsetting to me.
Chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. Someone bring me a cookie. Yeah. But anyway, I was just going to say, for 1 week rental, Jordan Reed looks like, obviously, it's a good matchup here, and Kittle may be out. And I'm going to, I got to give some love to Logan Thomas, who I've been talking about for quite some time.
That's
here.
A third tight end.
Yes, it's the fourth one. Give me a cookie, and I shut up about tight ends, because I'll be eating my cookie. That's the problem.
Three
That's what happened.
Defenses.
You didn't give me a cookie, so you know what? I'm going to keep talking tight ends.
Three defenses to consider. Tampa Bay, they play the Broncos on Sunday. Of course, as we know, it's Jeff Driscoll starting for the Broncos. So a favorable matchup in terms of inexperienced young quarterback they're playing against. The Titans, who, as we know, are a good defense, and they play the Vikings. Kirk Cousins has just been brutal so far this season. He had 3 interceptions this past week. An ugly, ugly day for the Vikings offense. Other than Dalvin Cook and the Cardinals, they actually have a pretty reasonable schedule coming up. They have, after playing last week against your Washington football team, I believe they finished with 9 fantasy points last week. They have the Lions, the Panthers without Christian McCaffrey, almost assuredly, and the Jets.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Pretty good lineup.
By the way, if you're looking for like a super week 3 streamer, the Colts, who play the Jets on Sunday, they're 10.5-point favorites, and the Colts defense is much improved this year, even though they did lose Malik Hooker to an Achilles injury yesterday.
Which is a loss.
All right, Daniel.
I got a question before we get into some social questions here, Field.
Okay, yep.
Smart trade decisions informed by IBM Watson here, and I want to know, so we got all the waiver information that we have, but sometimes if you lost CMC, if you lost Saquon, maybe the waiver wire is just not enough.
Right, so it is certainly an avenue to consider that you may not have a great option on the waiver wire, and this was a proposal from the IBM Watson trade assistant. I want to walk you through it, maybe sort of why it would make sense and why you might hesitate. The proposal would be to acquire Clyde Edwards-Helaire and his teammate Sammy Watkins, who's got a head injury right now. You trade away DJ Moore of the Carolina Panthers and J.K. Dobbins. Now, I think the person who would be receiving DJ Moore and J.K. Dobbins would be banking on this. Okay, I believe that DJ Moore will get decidedly more involved than he has been through 2 weeks. Maybe I have pretty good running back depth, and I'm just sort of laying out a possibility. You get Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. You get Jonathan Taylor in the third round. You get Kareem Hunt in the fourth round, something like that, right? So you have 3 really good running backs. You might be more primed to trade away one of those top players, but you don't love your wide receiver depth, and you believe in J.K. Dobbins. Obviously, J.K. Dobbins is a very talented player. He plays for a rushing attack in Baltimore that finally got it going in the fourth quarter this past week, and if he eventually becomes the guy in that backfield, as we've said throughout the preseason, he could be a top 7, 8, 10, yep, 12 running back. So that would be the line of thinking there. My personal preference is, generally speaking, to not trade away the best player in the deal. So if I'm the person trading away Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I might be chasing a bit more. But those are some of the reasons why you might sort of talk yourself into this trade that was proposed by IBM Watson. All right, Daniel, a couple questions. Call your own number right there. Daniel, go ahead now.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, going into, you know, social
now.
Questions. All right, a couple social questions here. I think these are actually really good. This comes from @AmberKevin. Are you concerned about Gallup's production? Just 10 targets thus far this season.
You want to go first?
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, go ahead. Like, listen, a little bit. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is great. I think they're coming.
I was skittish going into the season.
Okay.
And you and I had a difference on this one. he's the third best wide receiver on his team already. And beyond that, like, think about the game script of the first 2 weeks. It's been great.
Yeah.
And he's not getting targets. Now, he could turn this thing around. He's one injury away from being a top 20 option, obviously, every single week if something happened to Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb. But Dalton Schultz was a thing last week. Obviously, Zeke can get his in the passing game. I'm a little bit nervous. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I want to wait and see. Again, like, he had that ticky-tack, offensive OPI in week one. His line looks a lot different there.
Yeah, it looks better.
Like, I still think he's a very talented wide receiver. I still think this is going to be an exclusive. Like, I don't think, like, thinking about how this offense is built, I don't think, like, we're going to look here and go, like, boy, too bad Dalton Schultz was getting 9 receptions every game. Like,
I
hear you. Listen, CeeDee Lamb is really good. So that is absolutely a concern. But we saw this last year when Randall Cobb was in that thing. This offense is good enough to support 3 fantasy relevant wide receivers on Sunday, or 3 relevant fantasy relevant pass catchers.
Right.
This past Sunday, Dalton Schultz instead of Michael Gallup was that third. But I believe over the course of the season, Gallup will be there. I actually am still, I'm still in on Michael Gallup. Slightly concerned, but I'm not ready to hit the panic button just yet. Kay. I was told I was getting a cookie.
You will get a cookie after the show, Matthew Beery. I promise I'll give you a cookie. As one comes from at GYO Homegrow, following up on that, is CeeDee Lamb now a weekly starter after last week?
I don't believe so. Not yet. It's getting there, though.
He looked good, too.
He looks great. Yep. It's getting, and again, I just wonder, and maybe this week it will be the same game script because they're going to Seattle to play the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are just humming right now. I don't know that I have him inside. I don't have him inside my top 20.
No, but look at
it's
look
close,
at this
though.
Specific question.
Okay.
Oh. I have Terry McLaurin with Corey Davis and plus Tannehill.
Okay.
So it's basically, are you starting CeeDee Lamb over Corey Davis? And I would.
Oh, okay. In those circumstances.
In terms of what the roster we're being told, CeeDee Lamb a weekly starter. I have Terry McLaurin with Corey Davis and Tannehill. And then a person talks about
really good
running backs.
Yeah. Good running backs and a good quarterback, obviously. Yeah, I would start him over Corey Davis as well. But for those that are wondering, speaking generally, he is not someone that has yet cracked my weekly top 20 wide receiver rank.
We agree there. But yes, just in general, and I haven't done my rankings yet, and certainly they have a nice matchup with Minnesota this week, the Titans do. But in general, I have no issue with the idea of starting CeeDee Lamb over Corey Davis.
We got one more social question from SPE Sauce. Should I start panicking on T.Y. Hilton?
Yes.
Like, those are 2 great matchups in a row.
Yeah.
Dropped a touchdown in the end zone.
Yeah, so he did. And I know Frank Reich was encouraging yesterday and saying it's going to kind of get better, but 2 great matchups. The saving grace here is that, like, he's really talented. Beyond that, we know Paris Campbell's out. So,
yeah, exactly. That's the other
But I, yeah, I am concerned already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is reasonable to be concerned, but I'm not in full-blown panic just yet.
Okay, going to send it out to the bunker for Kyle for our Geico trivia question of the day.
Alrighty, guys, we saw Darren Waller account for just under 43% of his team's receptions last night. I want to know who ranked second in week 2 percentage of team receptions. We've got a multiple choice question because you guys have been struggling lately. So, A.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Hey, tell me I'm wrong. That's tell me right. I'm wrong.
See, you're not wrong.
Somebody's going to get this right.
All right.
A, Jordan Reed. B, Terry McLaurin. C, Stephon Diggs. Or D, Calvin Ridley. Highest percentage of team catches in week 2.
Other than Darren Waller, the options again are Jordan Reed, Terry McLaurin, Stephon Diggs, and Calvin Ridley. All 4 of those players found the end zone, had very, very nice days. So, Stefania, you want first?
Sure, why not? I've been in a slump.
Okay.
I got beaten badly in one league because of Terry McLaurin. I'm going to go with him.
7 for 125 and a touchdown last week for Terry McLaurin. Is that good enough to be 36.8% is the question. Matthew, your thoughts are?
Oh, he's trying.
I went Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed.
I almost went McLaurin, but then I thought, you know what, Stefania went McLaurin, so I'm going to go Reed.
I'm going to go with Jordan Reed as well. Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo left it for going 14 for 16 in the first half. I'm trying to do a little bit of math here. Nick Mullins came in the second half. Maybe 7 for 11. So would it be correct that Jordan Reed is the answer at 36.8%, Kyle Soppy?
Jordan Reed ranked 7th for the week. Terry McLaurin ranked 2nd.
I'm back.
Wow. Ivania Bell making her
trip start to write MC.
I copped to it. I was going to write McLaurin and then Stefania McLaurin, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go with Reed.
Wow.
I'm going to go a little bit different.
Just you're wrong.
A trivia question,
Daniel,
with a Washington
where's the drop?
Answer.
I was wrong. Right. Where's
wrong.
The drop?
I was wrong.
Wrong.
Well done by Stefania. All right, so on tomorrow's show, you know what we're going to do?
You know what's interesting? There's so many parts about the show that I love, but I know which part I hate.
Yeah.
I tried to help you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's a Washington answer.
That's right.
My least favorite part of the show.
Tomorrow on the show, we will talk about week 3 rankings. They'll be up on ESPN.com later on. We have our live show tonight. If you are signed up, check your emails for your link. We'll see you tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Daniel and Stefania and Matthew. I'm Field. Hasta mañana.
RotoPassDaily.com. Check it out. ESPN Plus, plus many other great sites to help you out with DFS. Promo code LAUNCH gets you 15% off. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.